Ebelson, good morning.
Good morning.
You are an associate professor of clinical epidemiology and biostatistics at McMaster University in Canada.
That's right.
So first of all, I was wondering, when did the preoccupation for having public participation in health policy started? Is it a new trend, or is it a question that has been addressed for years?
Well, I would say it's definitely not a new trend. I think this is something that's been of interest, not only within health policy, but just more broadly in public policy. The notion of citizens contributing to public policy processes is really a concept that's been around for a long, long time and really is at the core, the root of our study in thinking about democratic institutions. So I would certainly just start by saying that. And then within the context of health policy and public participation in health policy, I would say that if we were to go back to the late 60s, early 1970s, we would see the first discussions of the importance of citizen representation, citizen involvement, citizen engagement of some kind in the health system. And a lot of that goes back to some key review documents or health reform reports, even, you know, going to the province of Quebec, which has really some of the longest history of citizen involvement. The Castonguay-Nepru Commission report started to talk about this, and then other federal documents and in other provinces. So I would say I would go back to, within health policy in Canada at least, to the late 60s, early 1970s as the first stages of this. And then I think over time, over the last number of decades, we've seen at various points and sort of at key points when we've again reviewed the health system and where we're going and what might need to be improved, we've seen some points again in time when we talk about public participation, where it's more prominently featured in our discussions, in our discourse about health policy. So the 1990s would be the other really important time period when we saw a lot of discussion in, again, health reform documents, in particular around the time when we were decentralizing or devolving authority from provincial governments or central governments to more local level or regional governance structures. We saw a lot of attention being paid to thinking about citizen representation, citizen involvement in our health system and in a variety of different roles.
Okay. And why do you think this preoccupation is now present in the policy making?
Now present in current health policy making processes? Well, I guess I would say, you know, we're now at 2010. So if we think about, you know, 1970s, 1990s, and now into 2010, you know, where I think we're seeing again another time or time period when we're kind of assessing, rethinking, and you know, kind of contemplating what roles we want citizens to play, we think citizens should be playing. I think that the preoccupation, the nature of the preoccupation or interest in public participation in the policy processes has changed quite a bit in each of these, you know, if you were to look at each of these time periods in a comparative way. I think now there's quite a lot of preoccupation with accountability, with transparency, you know, in some respects a desire to try to restore or build trust in democratic institutions again. And so this notion that perhaps we haven't done as good a job in fostering that sense of trust and confidence in health systems, and so by bringing citizens into health policy processes, we might be able to improve in terms of the trust and the values that our citizens have towards their public institutions. So I would say each time period, the motivations behind the interest in public participation is slightly different.
Okay. And do you think it's always relevant to have the public participate? Do we sometimes have some discussion where I would say the participation of the public would not help, something like that?
Well, I think you have to – I have a couple of responses to that question. I think on the one hand, I would say that you can't really control when the public chooses to participate, right, or what interest the public has in engaging in policy processes, right? So if there's a real interest and a desire and a sense of, you know, we want to contribute, that's going to happen, right? And so I think what you might be referring to is the more of a kind of a top-down approach to it, where policymakers are interested in incorporating public input into policy processes, right? And so if you ask the question that way, I would say, sure, I think that any decision maker, policymaker needs to be thinking very, very carefully about why they are moving along that path. What are the goals for the public participation process? Is it a goal of, you know, improve transparency and sort of a legitimacy goal, that we just want to be able to say that, you know, at the end of the day, we actually consulted with this group, we brought them into the process, and that everybody is aware that happened, and then there's some support for the final decision. That's very different from a more of a capacity building goal or educative goal, right, which is much more about, we would like to improve the overall level of understanding of policy processes. We would like to build capacity among the citizenry for actually engaging in more meaningful ways on their own in a variety of areas of decision-making that they're involved in. So I think, just to answer your question fairly briefly, it's this notion of, depending on the goals that you have for public participation, that will take you down a variety of different paths. And I think being clear about what the goals you have for public participation will help you sort through whether or not you should actually do this at one point or another. And so I would say, certainly we need to be careful and not just assume that we always have to involve the public.
And what are the results in terms of policies? Are they better after all this history, I would say, of public participation?
Right. Well, I that's a really good question, and it is not an easy one to answer. I would say that the disappointing side of it is that, in fact, we don't have very good evidence that there is much that we can directly relate public participation to improvements, let's say, in health system performance, right? So I think that's one thing that I would be very, very surprised if we could actually point to research evidence that said, yes, in fact, health, the improvement or the performance of the health system was improved by involving the public in a particular process. Where I do think we have some evidence is on the issue of, I guess, in some respects, the responsiveness of the system to public values or public preferences or whatever it is that we're interested in engaging publics in, that, for example, the quality of information that is collected. I think we've shown that in some of the evidence out there that, in fact, it is important if you're designing services, if you're designing programs within the health system, that in fact it's pretty important to consult with the people who are going to be using those programs, and so that overall the quality of those programs in fact might be better because we've actually consulted with those users or potential users of the programs and services. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that we could feel fairly confident. But in terms of, you know, that correlation between public participation and policy making, that is not something that I think we have evidence to be able to say that in fact it translates into better policy per se.
And do the decision makers feel they owe something to the public when they ask the public to participate?
Again, depending on what aspect of policy making we're talking about, right? So again, back to my example of service design or program design and delivery, I think certainly it makes sense. And a lot of the attention now that's paid to patient engagement in particular, not so much broader public engagement, but patient engagement, is very much about recognizing that if you're going to design services and programs, you should be trying to design them in a way that responds to the needs of the users, right? So I think certainly there is a sense of some obligation to those who are going to be using the services. I guess the other way of thinking about this from a broader public citizen and even taxpayer point of view is that as shareholders in the health system, if you will, that there is some sense of obligation that this is a public system to the extent that we're talking about a publicly financed health system, and there are many people who are contributing to that through their taxes, and therefore there is an obligation on the part of policymakers to actually involve in some way those contributors or shareholders in the health system.
Okay, and what do we observe in other countries? I don't know if you have an idea of how we can qualify Canada if we compare it to the other places.
That's a challenging question. I've thought about it a little bit. I mean, I think that it would probably require really unpacking this whole area of public participation, which actually is quite a complex one if we think about what it actually is, right? What public participation means? What do we mean by publics? What do we mean by participation? You'd probably be able to do some head-to-head comparisons between Canada or certain jurisdictions within Canada and other countries. But to say kind of on whole that, we're doing it a certain way or we're doing it better or worse than another country, I think I would have great difficulty making any comparisons at that level. Certainly there's comparable lack of evidence that, public involvement actually has demonstrated certain impacts on policy, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, that this is difficult to be able to trace. I guess part of why it's so difficult is because it's really actually very challenging to trace the direct links between public involvement and policy, right? So to say it's better or worse is challenging because you actually have to understand fully what the policy process is all about and what all the steps are involved to know, well, gee, there was that very specific or very explicit link between what a group of people said, in that public engagement process to what actually happened on the policy side. So it means actually opening up a black box, right, that is really quite complex to understand in its own right. And so I would say that is very similar in any jurisdiction. So I think we're no different in Canada than anywhere else in the world. I think that certainly in other jurisdictions there have been very different emphases on public engagement or in particular how it's carried out. I think to some extent I have certainly seen that other jurisdictions are perhaps less concerned about sharing power with citizens than I think sometimes we are in Canada, or at least in certain jurisdictions in Canada. I think it's, again, hard to say that Canada approaches the notion of sharing power or the governors within this country share power in the same way. Of course, that's very different across jurisdictions at different levels of governing. But I think there is something unique here, that there is quite a bit of fear, I would say, about sharing power with citizens, certainly. So we see that in the extent to which other countries experiment with different methodologies, for example, deliberative methodologies, where in fact you are bringing citizens into, or stakeholders of some kind into a public policy process with the explicit intent of using something that comes out of their deliberation in the policy process. Again, much more experimentation with this in other countries than we've seen in Canada, although there is more of that happening here in this country. So those are a few examples of how I would compare and contrast the approaches taken here to other jurisdictions.
And just finally, I was wondering, what are the next steps in your researchers in terms of public participation?
Well, something that I'm working on right now has to do with trying to assess the impacts of public engagement processes on organizations. So in a way, it's actually getting at that question that I said was so challenging, understanding what the impacts of public engagement are on policy. I think it's not just policy, or at least policy is one aspect of this, but even within organizations, I think we have very little knowledge about how the exposure to experiences with, experimentation with public engagement methods actually shape and influence organizations and the people working within those organizations. And so based on some work that I did over 5 years ago in regional health authorities across the country, or at least in five provinces, including Quebec, we were interested to go back into those sites that participated in the first study and were exposed to a new methodology of public engagement, to go back into those organizations and say, okay, 5 to 8 years later, what did they learn? What was taken up within their organizations as a result of their experiences with our project, but also even in the interim with, you know, their exposure to other public engagement methodologies and processes. And so we're actually involved in that work right now, and it's proving to be very interesting. Again, we're seeing some really different findings across our jurisdictions and across the different types of organizations. And I think we'll have some interesting things to say about the role of leadership, for example, the role of organizational learning and the receptivity of organizations to learning about new methodologies. I think we'll have something interesting to say as well about just the broader socio-political context within which public engagement takes place, again, in the different jurisdictions that we're investigating. So that's a quick glimpse into some of the work that I'm doing right now.
Well, Julia Abelson, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.